VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido declared himself interim president Wednesday, winning the backing of Washington and many Latin American nations and prompting socialist Nicolas Maduro to break relations with the United States. Reuters' Jillian Kitchener reports.
As hundreds of thousands of protesters, fed up with the government of Nicolas Maduro, flooded the streets of Caracas Wednesday, Venezuela's opposition leader Juan Guaido declared himself the country's interim president. The move immediately won the backing of U.S. President Donald Trump, who released a statement recognizing him as the country's interim leader, prompting a swift reaction from Maduro. In a televised broadcast from the presidential palace, Maduro cut ties with the United States, accusing the opposition of seeking to stage a coup with the support of the U.S.
I've decided to break diplomatic and political relations with the imperialist government of the United States.
Maduro told U.S. diplomatic personnel they had 72 hours to leave the country.
That's Reuters' Jillian Kitchener reporting. North Korea has started preparing for a second summit between leader Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump. Mr. Trump sent a letter to Kim through North Korean Vice Chairman Kim Yong-chol, one of the country's highest-ranking officials who met with Trump at the White House last week. The report did not specify what the goals are, but Mr. Trump would like to see North Korea rid itself of its nuclear weapons, while Kim wants international sanctions lifted so he can work on improving the North's economy. Kim and Trump promised to work toward the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula at the first summit in Singapore in June. Neither side specified how that goal will be met, and little progress toward getting there has been made so far. This is VOA News. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has derailed next week's State of the Union address for the president, AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani.
President Trump was to address a joint session of Congress Tuesday, but Pelosi is denying him access to the House chamber until the government reopens.
That's a great blotch on the incredible country that we all love.
And it's forcing the president to find a backup plan.
We'll do something in the alternative.
Though he didn't say what that was. Pelosi had asked him last week to postpone the address, and the president, in essence, called her bluff by saying he'd go ahead with it. She then denied him access, which he calls a disgrace. The latest moves in their increasingly personal standoff over the shutdown. Sagar Magani, Washington.
And the U.S. Senate is preparing to vote on competing partisan efforts to end the partial federal government shutdown now in its second month. But neither proposal has an easy path through Congress to reach President Trump's desk. On Thursday, the Senate is expected to vote on a Republican measure incorporating Trump's $5.7 billion demand for wall construction along the U.S.-Mexico border, plus limited immigration reforms in a package to fund the government for the rest of the current fiscal year. The Senate also will vote on a Democratic proposal to fund the government through February 8th. The measure contains no border security or immigration provisions, and it's designed merely to reopen shuttered federal agencies and provide a window for congressional leaders and the White House to strike a deal on outstanding issues that provoked the funding impasse in December. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky urged Democrats to embrace the Republican measure, which would provide temporary protections for immigrants brought illegally to America as children, some of whom have been shielded from deportation by an Obama administration program. A new study by a defense analysis company indicates there was a 33% drop in global terror attacks in 2018, and terrorism fatalities fell to a 10-year low. Jane's Terrorism and Insurgency Center released its annual Global Attack Index Wednesday, saying one of the central reasons for the decrease in incidents and fatalities was the decrease in violence in Syria, where the government has gained control of territory previously occupied by Islamic State militants. Attacks by IS in 2018 declined by nearly 75%. That's compared to 2017. The study said in addition to Syria, IS was also affected by losses in Iraq, which noticeably reduced the militants' capability to operate, forcing them to switch to lower intensity insurgent operations. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.